Mr. Nance said to shorten it down, so it was 80 minutes, so I'm going to shorten it down to about an hour. Not quite. What would life be like if everything was perfect? No bad choices, no pain, no evil influences, nothing to overcome. That would be very different than our lives today. But today, life is not perfect. We have all these things in our lives. We make bad choices. We have evil influences. We have pain. Many of these things are self-inflicted because of bad choices by ourselves or others. We have trials. But these trials are necessary for us to learn how to deal with life, how to deal with our shortcomings, to overcome them. In a world without trials, we would not have to suffer. But suffering, in this case, in the trials, helps us. It helps us to grow. It helps us to overcome our faults. It helps us to develop the character that God can use in us. In James 1:2, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." This is one of those memory scriptures that I'm sure everyone remembers. Count it all joy. The title of my message today is The Joy of Trials. I mean, that's what James said, the joy of trials. This afternoon, I want to talk about how we may not experience joy in the trial, but we should be able to appreciate the trial, what it is producing in us, knowing that is helping us to overcome, helping to perfect us. Let's go back to James again. I'll read 1 through 4. James 1, 1 through 4. Well, I won't read 2. Let's go to 3 and 4. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." So that's one purpose of trials, to produce patience in us. After all, we can't eliminate trials. When something comes upon us, we have to go through it. We have to endure it. Life is a trial. We have to endure it. Hopefully benefit from the trials that we encounter in our life. Now verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." So this can produce perfection in us, help us to grow into the type of character that God wants us to have. Now, it's not just the people of God who have trials. Everyone, every man on this planet, and women and children, have trials. But God wants to use those trials for our benefit. Trials are not the same for everyone. We have different trials throughout our lives. Throughout our day, each day we'll have a different trial. But they benefit us in different ways. Let's look at some definitions of trials from Webster's Dictionary. A trial, 1, any effort or exertion of strength for the purpose of asserting what can be done or effected. That's a trial. Test if you can bend a bar. I mean, I can't do that anymore, but I know Earl can. He's told me he could. The act of testing by experience, proof, test. That's a trial. Examination by test. experimentation, as in chemistry, metallurgy, and so forth. Source of trials come from many different areas. One of the most common is ourselves. We cause many of our trials to come upon ourselves. We make poor choices. We may not be very wise in planning our financial expenditures. We see something we like. Okay, we'll buy it. But we cut ourselves short in another area. We may not be able to make a payment because we gave in to that impulse. That's a trial that we bring on ourselves. So we have no one to blame but ourselves. That's not God. That's not, well, Satan may tempt you, but you do it. You make that choice, you do it yourself. And these type of trials can cause a great deal of worry, a burden on your mind, your joy, your life. It's a burden. Others may be health problems that we bring upon ourselves by not eating the right foods, not exercising. I'm guilty of all of this. That these are self-inflicted. If we neglect maintaining our home or a vehicle, I forgot to start the timer, so I have no idea where I'm at now. If we neglect to maintain our home, we notice a little crack in the wall. No problem. But you don't do anything. You just let it go and go. And finally, it's not a little crack any longer. It's a big crack. You need to have something done to level that home again. We neglect to maintain our appliances. We have a furnace that we don't bother cleaning the filters. Don't bother having it checked annually. All of a sudden, on a cold night, the furnace doesn't work. That's self-inflicted, but it's because we do not maintain those things that are under our control. Our car doesn't work. We heard a squeak, but we didn't bother checking it out. We had a bump it made a nice rhythm as we drove along. We didn't bother to check it out. But that bearing, it's gone now. So you're going to have to pay a lot of money, get yourself towed in and get fixed. That's a trial. But it's over after a short time. After you fix it, it's over. But we should learn from these trials. A trial should give us an opportunity to learn the consequences of our actions. We make bad choices. We suffer the consequence. We should learn from that. Unfortunately, others can't learn from our bad choices. We can tell them, but normally, very few people take advantage of the experience of someone else. If we don't obey a traffic law, the cop stops us. We say, I'm sorry. He says, tough. Here's your ticket. Show up in court, pay this fine. That's self-inflicted. We learn to be more careful when we're driving, more watchful of our speedometer. Sometimes trials are caused by others. You may remember Gabby Gifford, the senator, I think she was a senator from Arizona who was shot. She had no part in the trial that was brought upon her. But yet, she's going to endure the rest of her life this trial. That's brought upon her by this one individual who's deranged, a little mentally unstable. Each time she tries to walk, she's going to remember hopefully she'll be less severe as she goes along. The memory will fade, but she'll remember why she's having this problem. When she tries to talk, she'll remember why she's not able to speak. She suffered this trial from another individual. Now, Satan also causes us trials. He's an expert at using our weaknesses to bring trials upon us. Now, God could prevent him from doing this, but he didn't prevent Job from being tried by Satan. He allowed Satan to try Job. And Job finally overcame. Another definition of from Webster's trial is the state of being tried or tempted. Exposure to suffering that tests strengthens patience, faith, or the like. The affliction or temptation that exert or exercises improves the grace or virtue of men. Employers can try us. We have one individual here a couple of years ago come back from the feast. He didn't have a job because he obeyed God. He went to the feast. That was a trial. He's still suffering that trial, enduring that trial. But I'm feel certain after talking with him many times that he's being strengthened. He knows that God is aware of his situation and that he's enduring this trial. We all have to endure trials. We cannot be free from trials and expect to mature. Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 11. Let's read beginning verse 5. And all of you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. God uses Satan. He allows Satan to try us, to tempt us. He allows him to, he chastises us through the things that he allows Satan to do. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If all of you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if all of you be without chastening, wherefore are all partakers, then are all of you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh, which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastens us after their own pleasure, but for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. But he for our profit, God for our profit, chastens us. Now, here the writer of Hebrews says, though no chastening for the present seems joyous, seems to contradict what James says. Find it all joy when you fall into various trials. But the writer here, probably Paul, says, no chastening for the present seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The fruit of this chastening, or this chastisement, is what is precious. It's what we must get, we must grow and then develop into. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now that's all of us. As I mentioned a few moments ago about this one of our family who's lost his job because of the Feast of Tabernacles. He's suffering persecution because of that. In Revelation 3, 14 through 19, I'm just going to read, Revelation 3. It says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire. Tried in fire. Tribulation. That you may be rich and white. That you may be clothed and the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Gold and other metals are purified by fire. Extreme heat causes the impurities to separate from the gold as it melts, or the other metals, and kind of float to the surface if it's heavier, and it can be purified. Clay also that the potter uses. He uses heat to make it firm, to make it unchangeable. It becomes something usable until its heat is applied to it, a great deal of heat, it can return back to clay, a mud. But once it's fired to a certain temperature, it is set. Our trials can set us into the individual God wants us to be. In the last days, God's people will be tested severely. In Daniel 12, verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. We're going to be tried in the end time. Ezekiel 5, verses 1 through 4. Ezekiel 5. And you, son of man, take a sharp knife, take a barber's razor, and pass it upon your head and upon your beard. Then take balances to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city. Then the days of the siege are fulfilled. When the days of the siege are fulfilled, and you shall take a third part and strike about it with a sword, and the third part you shall scatter in the wind, and I will draw a sword out after them. You shall also take some of them and bind them in your garment. Then take some of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in fire, for from that there shall a fire go forth unto all the house of Israel. Trials, severe trials, will be coming upon us. We have to be able to withstand these trials. We have to endure to the end. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 through 15. For no one is able to lay another foundation besides the one having been laid, which is Jesus the Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, grass, straw, the work of each one will be revealed in a day, for the day will be made known, because it is revealed in fire, and a fire will prove the work of each one, what sort it is. If the work of anyone which he built remains, he will receive reward. If the work of anyone shall be burned down, he shall suffer loss, but he will be saved, but so as through fire. Now, the Guzik commentary of the Bible writes about this. The fire will test each one's work. When our work is tested by God, it will be revealed what kind of work it was. The fire will destroy the work that is not good, such as the wood, hay, and straw, but not gold, silver, or precious stones. Only the work that come through the fire, the trials, is acceptable. Bad, wrong works will be destroyed. Sometimes these trials maybe seem too severe to bear. We have some individuals who are currently undergoing severe trials. But talking with some of these, you'll find that their faith is very strong. They are counting on God. Their hope is in God, in Jesus Christ. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul writes, "There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with all temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, temptation, you can also put here test or trial. These trials. God knows what we can bear and what is beyond our ability. He'll strengthen us once it gets beyond our ability, but we have to put forth effort also. Romans 8:28, another memory scripture. Romans 8:28. "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." All things. When you're in the middle of a trial, severe trial, it's hard to think this is going to be good for me. But those of us who've experienced cancer know that there's many things much worse. There's individuals who are having a much more difficult time than what we have. We're all going to die if Christ doesn't come soon. We'll all die. We're not going to die healthy unless we're killed in an accident. If we die in a hospital, it's not going to be a pleasant death, perhaps, hopefully, but it may be a painful death. But it's something that we endure. We look beyond this trial. What lies beyond this? Some of these trials are from God, as I said. He allows Satan to test us. He allows us to see our weaknesses through these trials. See where we need to change, where we need to grow. Now, Job underwent some of these trials. He was perfected. Although God proclaimed him the most righteous man on the earth at the time. But he had a fault. God had to correct him, had to show his weakness. Job was a little self-righteous. You have to admit that when you read that. But also, at the end, Job said, I knew you by the hearing. Now I see you. Now I know you by seeing you. He was able to see God's perfect character, his perfect knowledge. We need to grow like that, to become like Job, to be humble, and see our imperfections. And these trials help us to see those imperfections. These trials are inconvenient. Then your car never breaks down at the time when you don't need it. Sometimes you get out, start your car, it won't start. That's great. It's still inconvenient. You had to go somewhere. Usually when mine breaks down, I'm not at home. I'm somewhere else. I need to get that car home. Sometimes it's been easy to take care of, others not. But throughout all the ages, those who remain faithful have endured trials. In the 16th century, there was great persecution on those individuals who tried to obey God, to know God. Some were burned at the stake for just reading the Bible. I mean, if they had the Bible, that was it. You were in deep, deep trouble. Some mothers in England were burned because they taught their children the Lord's Prayer in English. Now, we don't have anything to compare to that today. Now, Mr. Nats mentioned about those individuals, the brethren in Colombia. What trials do they go through? Now, what trials do we go through that compares to that? Walk out her house, get in her car, and drive here. But this one lady walks down the jungle path, gets in the boat, travels on the river to where she can catch a bus to go to church. We don't have trials like that. We're a soft, soft people because God has blessed us so much. In Jeremiah 12:5. If you have run with a footman and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? And if you trusted in the land of peace, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Now this is from the King James 3 translation, literal translation. Are we able to run with the horses? To keep up with the horses? Are we just able to keep up with the footmen? Do we have trouble keeping up with the footmen today? What will it be like when these severe trials come upon us? In Romans 5, 3 through 5, Romans 5, 3 through 5. Beginning in verse 3. And not only so, but we glory also in afflictions, knowing that the afflictions fully works patient endurance. Patient endurance. Endure with patience. And patient endurance fully works proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope, puts not to a shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the one given to us. Trials and afflictions are essential for our growth. Patience. It begins with patience. Endure with patience. First Peter 4, beginning in verse 12. First Peter 4, 12 through 17. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Here again, Peter's saying rejoice, as James said to rejoice. Count it all joy. But rejoice, since you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. If we suffer righteous suffering, doing right, then that's great, that's good. God is pleased. But if we bring it on ourselves by doing wrong, we pay for that with our trials. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin on the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall be the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Suffering, these trials, gives us patience. It helps us to grow, to become the individual that God wants us to be. He's using these trials for us, for our benefit. Even those we bring on ourselves, God will use for our good. As Paul wrote in Romans 8:28. Deuteronomy 8:2. Deuteronomy 8:2. The Israelites endured a lot of trials, suffering in the wilderness. But there was a purpose of that. Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. If we can't run or walk with the horsemen or men during these trials, how can we run with the horses? Verse 15. God continues, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you forth out of the rock, brought forth water out of the rock of flint. Verse 16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. These trials are for our good. For our good in the end. When will these trials end? When we die. They will not stop. They will not end until we die. Or changed. when Christ returns. Job 5, it says that, "Behold, blessed is the man whom God corrects and despise not the chastening of the Almighty." Blessed are we when we are chastened by God, when He corrects us. James 1:12-15. James 1:12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." This is the same word in Greek as trial in verse 2 of James 1, which you find counted all joy. "Because becoming approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to the ones loving him." Now, Barclay's Daily Study Bible comments on this is that the man who meets trials in the right way is a joy here and hereafter. In this life, he becomes a man of sterling worth. He is dokimos. He is like metal, which is cleansed of all alloy. The weakness of his characters are eradicated, and he emerges strong and pure. Now, verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempts he any man." God doesn't tempt us. He allows Satan to tempt us, but because we're not close to him. If we're close to God, Satan won't be able to tempt us. Verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Our own nature, own carnal thoughts and habits bring most of these trials upon us. God will use them for our benefit. He doesn't want us to lose our salvation. There's one verse I was trying to find. I'm skipping a lot of this so I can get through. But we're to be thankful in our trials. I don't remember where that is right now, but we are to be thankful in our trials. Now, you notice it doesn't say for our trials, but in our trials. We should be thankful for what those trials are producing. We can be thankful that God is working with us yet. That He's strengthening our character, tempering our character to be like Him, like Jesus Christ. The purpose of our trials is to perfect us toward a more perfect character that Jesus Christ had. And reward for enduring these is eternal life with Jesus Christ. Oh yes, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So in everything, give thanks. When we are in a trial, we must remember the value of the trial, what it's producing in us. Satan is instigator of much of our trials, many of our trials. He uses our weaknesses, our poor choices, our poor abilities to bring us into trials. God allows this to show us our weaknesses. He allows Satan to go so far, but not beyond what we can endure, what we can overcome. But in these trials, we grow in patience and in faith. We learn to trust God because He will make all things work together for our good. Trials help us to encourage others because we've experienced many of the things that they're going through. Someone who has had cancer can empathize with someone else. If you haven't had cancer, you can sympathize, but you don't know what it's like to have cancer. But we can all gain sympathy for someone who's undergoing a trial and help them, to support them, to encourage them. The goal of our trials is to perfect us into the type of character that God wants us to have. If we grow weary in these trials now, when we're walking with the footmen, we won't be able to run with the horses during those severe trials that are coming upon us. And events occurring today seems like that may not be too far away. We will have to run with the horses. These trials will strengthen us. If we endure, if we endure them to the end, we grow in patience. We'll grow in God's grace. We'll grow in love. But now we're living in the good times. The bad times are coming. The joy of trials is when they're over and you can look back and see what they've produced in you. The patience, the empathy, the encouragement you give others. Knowing that they are preparing us to be in God's kingdom should be very, very encouraging to each one of us. Appreciate these trials for what they give us and count it joy, not necessarily because you're having a trial, but knowing when the trial is over, the fruit that it produces in us. But as we fight the good fight of faith and endure these trials, we are being prepared to run with the horses. So count it all joy when you enter into various trials.